Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
It's not right, but it's okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna make it anyway. At your bed,
up and leave.
Don't you dare come running back to me.
What's that part? What did she say? Don't you them coming back. I always say, don't you deck them coming back to
their come, right? You right. Don't you dare come running back to me.
Oh, no. I was saying deck them. Deck them. I've been saying it for about 20 years. So. Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Deck them.
Don't you deck them coming back to
what
me.
Deck them. What is deck them? No.
That, you know, like deck them, punch them in the face. I never knew. Anyways, welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, season 4, episode... Tanea, how do you say 13 in French? Let's see if you still remember.
No.
Wow. It's today. No. Remember, it's like 11, 12, 13, 14, 5, 6.
I literally don't even remember.
Monsieur Saint Fort would be so disappointed. It's Tanea.
Yes. Sorry, that I took Spanish in college and therefore I forgot all of the French I took in high school.
We took French in high school, y'all. But welcome back. We Watch Too Much TV, season 4, episode 13.
Shout out to Mr. Saint Fort. I hope you're well.
Yes. So we are here. How's everything been, best friend? How was your Pride weekend? Pride Month is here.
You know, be who you are
for your pride.
I love that every June, everybody runs that video back. Everybody sends it to me every like month. They always like, this is your favorite video. One of my old coworkers was like, this is your video. Happy month. It's beautiful. It's busy. It's one of the days where there's not one weekend where there's not at least one thing for me to do. To the point where there's multiple things. And so during the week, I am in the house. I am with my child. He has also been invited to a lot of events. You know, I got him a little gay scarf. So when I take him out, they know my son, it's a dog. That's He's nice. A 9-month-old Yorkie poo, but they know that he is also an ally, right? LGBTQIA. Mm-hmm. Yes. But it's been beautiful. It's always joyous. It's always a good time. I just love meeting new people, new energy. And yes, happy Pride to the gays, theys, and the allies of the world. How are you doing?
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm doing amazing. I'm in the final stretch of pregnancy and it's not really that fun. The only upside is just mentally knowing like, oh, okay, my baby will be here soon and I'll be able to hold her in my arms and fall in love. But in the meantime, in between time, I'm just like, okay, it's time to serve this eviction notice. Like, I'm giving her about 3 weeks. And by my appointment schedule on Juneteenth, I'm going to tell my doctor, we need to induce this labor if she ain't coming out. Because I'm just like, I'm tired. But yes, you know, life is good, blessed, great, all of that. I'm just tired. But TV is getting me through. It was really nice seeing how, you know, when we did our postings, our social media postings for last week, when I talked about listing large, I went and I tagged Odine and Lamont to our post and We Realty. And I just focused on the show. I didn't go look up their Instagram when I was watching it. So I had no idea that they ended up getting together and really realizing like we love each other. And then they got engaged and then they welcomed the baby and they have their beautiful blended family. It's so nice to see. So
yeah, when I was looking like up stuff for them, I was like, oh
yeah,
that's so nice. So it was such a pleasant surprise to see that. So shout out to Odine and Lamont, you know, like they definitely deserved it. Such a beautiful family. And sometimes, you know, guys, distance makes the heart grow fonder. So I'm happy they figured it out.
Yes. So, but yeah, I've just been watching TV. So despite as tired as I've been with this last phase of the pregnancy, I'm so entertained. But like, yeah. For example, today I've been binging Hell's Kitchen, the last season of Hell's Kitchen. And I know you've talked about it on this show before, but I don't feel like you really got into the nitty gritty of how juicy it is.
It's so good. It was so good. And I love the person who won. I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah, but don't spoil it. Okay. I'll start. So what happens is I'll start with the reality shows. I'll start from the latest season and go back. So then by the time I get to the finale, it'll ruin who won the previous season because they typically always bring back who won. And so then when I start the previous season, I'm watching it already knowing who won, but it's still whatever because it's reality TV. It was scripted. I have to start it from the first season or I'm just like, no. But yeah, it's good. So I've been watching that, but I've just been watching so much. So before we get into what we've been watching, don't forget to follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV, TEA with a capital B. Like and subscribe, rate and review. Send us your opinions, comments on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Yeah. And
tell us what you think we should watch. I love suggestions.
Yeah, Tanea does. She will watch them.
I will. At least once.
At least once. But on that note, let's get into our weekly grad. All right, best friend, what's first on your list?
So first on my list is a new show, but it's also kind of an old show. It's currently on Wild Presents Plus, which is the Drag Race producers app where they have all the Drag Race shows from every country. It is called House of Fire. Now for you legendary fans, it is kind of a reality show watching the lives of the winners of, I think, season 3, the House of Miyake Mugler, like one of my favorite houses. I'm a member in my brain. They had a show like this on Vice years ago, so I'm happy they kind of bringing it back again, but with a new twist and flavor. So it follows the house father, the house mother, and the house children. There's one house uncle who, you know, is older than the kids, but not quite on mother and father status, so he kind of gets in it. Then you have Brooklyn, who, when you see her face, you're going to remember her because she was like the star, the little young one when they were doing Legendary. Just so cute, so beautiful. And she's coming into her own life, starting her transition, like brand spanking new while you see the show. And then you see Lena Bloom. Now, I don't know if you know who this is, but she is such a big supermodel. She's been a Sports Illustrated. She's been an actress before. She started in the House of Miyake Mugler. She was that girl when she was on runways, but then she left the house abruptly when she started getting that coin, and now she wants to come back. But, you know, the house father and mother, well, the house mother's like, okay, cool. House father Yusuf is like, no, who do you think you are? So you see beefs, you see a new guy try to join the house, but he's actually the house mother's ex-boyfriend. Mm. You see the girls in the house, they really not feeling Lena. They like, because Lena feels like she is it. She's the only girl. She don't respect the other women. So it's like a real good, I love ball. Like, I love that scene. It's beautiful. And so I love watching like the ins and outs of it. And it's also funny because they're shady. Like, what are you wearing? Like, Brooklyn right. is so young. I think she's like 22. She's like, all I eat is chicken tenders and french fries. So I don't even know what this is. It was asparagus.
I'm done.
She was like, what is this? How do you say it? Asparagus? And then she took a bite and she was like, no, cook that harder. It was so funny.
Oh my God.
It's just so cute. But I love this show. It's such a good show. If you want like some Housewives drama, but you're all about the games for Pride Month, you need to watch House on Fire. And the first episode is free and it's on YouTube.
It sounds like they're filling a little of the void that HBO Max left behind from canceling Legendary.
100%. And I'm so happy Wow Presents Plus like picked it up. I really hope they give them some type of promo. I did see they had like a viewing party, like a premiere party. So that makes me happy. But it has the potential to go on for a long time, but they got to kind of push it back. And shame on HBO. But I feel that same way about We're Here, because it's already over. And the way they did it was like they only did two states. It wasn't that deep. The way they did it, they literally went to Tennessee for 3 episodes, Oklahoma for 3 episodes. So I think maybe they're just not aligning with the queer content that they need to. But if you want to see it,
our inclusive content that they need to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like one and done situation. So on that note, we're gonna go over to Wow Sports by Us. okay. Wow, it's for the gays, by the gays, and the thays. So, all
right.
What is first on your weekly grab?
So, first on my weekly grab is Summer House. Mm-hmm. It has been the buildup to Carl and Lindsay's impending breakup. So, we all know, because it had hit the blogs last year, that they broke up and called off the engagement, with Lindsay saying she was blindsided. But this whole season has been showing us like these two were completely at odds. They were arguing all the time. Lindsay was like coming down his throat for just like Carl's life choices. And Carl is like trying to verbalize to her what he is wanting from her as a fiance going and, you know, potentially wife. And it's just like they just weren't seeing eye to eye. So now you do see Carl kind of, It did come off like he set up these meetings, like he sat down with Kyle, and Kyle's like, do you want to get married? Because they're supposed to get married in 2 months. And Carl's just like, I don't know. He's talked to his parents and they're just like, this isn't just looking healthy. Then you see them arguing at the Summer House on the weekends. So then when, you know, they speed up, they say the camera show like, oh, like a month later or whatever, Carl called the cameras to their apartment. And he broke up with her on camera. It's not
he
funny.
He called the cameras?
Right. So it's not funny. I definitely, you can feel sympathy for her just in regards to the situation of like, imagine you're engaged to someone and you're thinking like, despite the issues, you guys could work it out. And he just dumps you on camera. So that was pretty foul. But at the same time, it's just like Lindsay... One, as someone who's watched the show since season one, it's like Lindsay is getting her karma. Because you see, like, even with her arguments with Carl, like, she just cannot take accountability. And from the beginning of the show, you never really see her choose to view something outside of her perspective. It's just how Lindsay sees it, and then that's it. And then at one point when they were arguing at the Summer House and she's telling him, you want me to be a Stepford wife? Like, in my opinion, in my view, it was the other way around. It's like she wanted Carl to work a certain type of job and be able to provide for her and then their future family so that she could be at home. So, you know, you wanted a Stepford husband.
Mm.
So when he's breaking up with her, he's explaining to her, like, there's certain things I want to do with my career. And you just won't accept it. And she's still just not seeing it. However, what I would say is that they both are toxic because Carl is a man boy. Like, he's a baby. You've seen it from the beginning of the show. None of his relationships with women ever really work because he will victimize himself and say what he's not getting out of the situation. While it's like, what were you ever really even bringing? So, you know, he was making a big deal. Like, well, I was splitting the bills with you. You should, if you're not paid all of the bills, you know what I mean? So, right. You know, Carl definitely played victim, but it's always who he's been in relationships. And I feel like Lindsay was only blindsided because she's used to treating guys like crap. And they typically just deal with it until she calls it off. So the fact that like she couldn't control the situation, which is what she's done in the past, and that's what she's known to do, right? She owned her own PR firm. With Carl calling off the wedding, you could tell that's more of what bothered her. But I feel from the jump, they rushed into the relationship. They got together. They told each other they love each other while they were both single and vulnerable at Kyle and Amanda's wedding, like just 2 years before. Then by the following season, Carl's getting down on one knee and proposing to her at the beach. It was just like, and then remember, Danielle was telling her last season, I think y'all are moving too fast. So I would just say it was always there that they weren't going to make it. And I wouldn't say there's one person to blame more than the other, but I do think if Lindsay was less Lindsay, Carl would have walked down the aisle. And if she does want to get married, she has to learn how to be a partner and not a controlling mean machine with no soul. Cause you'll like Lindsay does not really show emotion. So it was definitely good seeing Carl tell Lindsay about herself, because as a fan of the show, it's the first and only time we've seen someone be able to do that successfully. Like, she was freaking gagged. Like, her mouth was like open. Like,
she was like, how dare you leave me?
Right. Like, speechless, because no one has ever done that to her. And you've seen her just be so toxic, so toxic in her past relationships. Granted, Carl's been no better, but I mean, like, not as bad as Lindsay. Like, Lindsay is horrible. Like, you see her pick fights with her boyfriends and gaslight the F out of them. It's just insane. So seeing Carl stick up for himself, and I think he was only able to do that because, you know, they're both on the show. They both like, and they've been friends for so long. So he knows who she is. He read her ass down.
How long were they together for? Like a year or two? You said a
like
season?
Like 2 years. Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, it finally happened. But all right, that was the first thing on my weekly grab. And now we'll go into the reunion, which I'm looking forward to just seeing them, you know, hash it out along with like.
Oh, so that was the season finale. So dumping her.
Yep. And then now it's just a matter of like them facing each other at the reunion, in addition to like the rest of the cast and the things that they have said during confessionals. And then other little storylines, right? Like Danielle was being a pick me. Paige and her just wanting to move slow with Craig from Southern Charm, and even the things that Paige said about people in her confessionals. Like, I think those will be good, interesting conversations to tap into, and let Andy tap into them. Cause you know, he's the only person that can host reunions on Bravo. So that'll be nice to watch, but
you
right.
Know what you said?
I'm so tired of seeing Andy host every damn reunion. It's just like, why? He doesn't have the juice all the time. He barely has the juice. And then he plays favorites and it's just like, oh, I'm over it. But whatever. It is what it is.
I don't care with some, but to your point, like, I like that. Like, Love and Hip Hop or something. Like, they have different hosts. It's not the same host for all of them.
It just helps give you different flavor. For the show, it makes it better. Like, you know, if you try a host and the fans don't like it, try out a different host. But to have one person host the main show, Watch What Happens Live, and every reunion for every show, it's like, I didn't know. I thought Bravo was a channel. I didn't know it was Andy Cohen's channel. And I don't think it is. It's in partnership with NBC Universal. I don't think Andy Cohen launched Bravo. How did you just decide on just making one person the face of the network? Weird. But anyways, what's next on your weekly grab?
Speaking of Bravo, great transition, because the next show on my weekly grab is the return of the Real Housewives of Dubai.
Yes. Such a breath of fresh air.
It is such a breath of fresh air. I'm just happy. Like, I just love the cast. I love how Black it is. Mm-hmm. I always say that. I love how Black it is. So they're back. It's kind of like, I really wish that they would have showed more like a preview for the season one, because one, I forgot. And like, I was kind of like, who doesn't like who and why or whatever.
Right.
But they came back, all five of them. One is replaced. I kind of like the new girl, Talene. She gives very fun vibes. I like that she's different. She gives good housewife energy so far. Carolyn and her husband are very much given like two more seasons, they're about to get divorced vibes. They do not seem like they're on the same page about anything at all.
Ooh, you think so?
She is so like, I want to be old, I want to be like just rich and calm.
Yes.
And
yes.
He wants to do TikToks,
yeah,
he wants to have that baby in a room,
she
doesn't even want to
talk. Right.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't think. She really, really thought about their relationship. I don't think she really like, I don't know. And then even like when you see the preview where her daughter's like, all she cares about is him. I don't even think she's like taking into account a lot of things. And yeah. he seems like he's young. I want the baby. I want this. I want that. And she just like, so that's not giving what it needs to give. I got to see the rest of this whole Lisa Ayan fallout as it pertains to Carolyn, because that's interesting. Carolyn Brooks is always rich. I think she's beautiful. I keep getting Sarah mixed up with the other girl from last season because they look so much alike. So
I don't even remember that. I don't remember the other girl's name.
Remember her name, but I know her and Sarah look alike.
No, I they kind of do, but if I can't remember her name, then I can't get them mixed up.
Alia? I don't know. But
I'm no longer here. She doesn't matter. She's irrelevant.
Yeah.
She was irrelevant.
I mean, but overall, I think it was a good start to the season and wasn't like the busiest, but sometimes you don't need everything to go from 0 to 10. So I will be watching. But the main thing that I really got from the episode or that stood out to me was just how Carolyn, Sergio, that's the same. Yes, they just seem very like different energy. Like Chris and Candace have young energy. They have a good time. I could tell that they're aligned. Carolyn, just watch this space. Let's see where they are in 2 seasons.
She didn't even want to have the wedding.
Exactly. Like I don't even know what's. Sometimes you know when you just want to prove a point, so you're just with somebody. I don't even think their goals are the same. The interest. She's like, I'm too old to do this. He wants to, you know, one of them cute couple videos. Like, who liked who first? And you don't even want to be young. Like, it seems like she's not willing to compromise with him on too much. Like, she'll do a little bit, but then she's like, I don't want to. And I don't think that's like the best safe. So I'm not wishing bad upon anybody.
No, you're just saying what you kind of see, what you kind of foresee.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah. They don't give.
I love them. I love that they're around. It's all they've always been like one of my favorite. They've become my second favorite franchise after Miami. I am interested to see this dynamic between Lisa and Ayan. And it is coming off. Some people are saying like, oh, Stanberry kind of put herself in between them. But I'm not seeing that so far. It seems like Ayan was going for that friendship. And I just kind of do find that a little funny because you see like the disdain that Stanberry has for Lisa. And then at the same time, like even that exchange that happened at the table between Ayan and Sarah, who I don't like at all. And I'll get into that in a second. Lisa was riding for Ayan. So it's just like, why can you not do that in return? Now, granted, I'm not saying be mean and evil to Stanberry. But it's like just the way it seemed like you were really seeking out that friendship. So I'm just interested to see how that fallout between her and Lisa comes about and the continuation of her building a friendship with Stanberry. Because if it does start to come out that it was like, yeah, Ayan was seeking this friendship out, then I do just feel like that's a little disloyal.
You know, like, why is she seeking it out? Like, is there a reason why you want to be her friend so badly? But also, Lisa, like, are you able to forgive? Like, is it that unforgivable? I just think I got to watch that space more because I'm still trying to figure it out.
I just think a lot of low blows were taken at the reunion, but more on Stanberry's part where she was really trying to attack Lisa's business. So, yeah, I don't know. But Sarah, I was actually really hoping that Sarah didn't come back. I would rather the one who I can't remember her name.
Let's look her up. Go ahead.
I would rather her have come back than Sarah. So what I don't like about Sarah is she just comes off completely self-righteous and disingenuous. It's like she really kind of puts herself on a pedestal above anyone because she's spiritually here and she does this and then she does that, and then in the second wave you could just say some really low blow foul stuff to someone and stand 10 toes down on it. I was debating with someone today on Twitter because it's like they're like Ayan is upset because Sarah took to the press and said Ayan shouldn't use her trauma to make excuses for her poor behavior. And at the same, while I can understand the point she is trying to make, it's still bringing up Ayan's trauma is a sensitive topic when you know what the hell the trauma is, and she chose to open up to you because you forced her to do that on camera. Did you not? Last year brought her to this little spiritual thing for her to open up, and she broke down in tears. And so you already know that's such a sensitive thing. Why would you then say, oh, you shouldn't use that trauma to excuse your poor behavior? There's other ways of you just talking about Ayan's behavior that you find poor than to now reference her trauma. And someone's like, oh, but she didn't bring, and you know, that she's saying what Sarah's saying, like, I didn't say her trauma, not saying like she didn't go into detail about what the trauma was, but you still said the word exact trauma. What trauma are you talking about? So stop trying to
bring it up. There was no need for you to bring it up.
There was no need to, especially if you're such a self spiritually aware person. If you're going to just call Ayan out for just, oh, she's loud, or oh, she does this, just say that. To now reference her being freaking circumcised as a little girl and say, oh, that's no excuse. Now, granted, she didn't say circumcised as a little girl, but when you say trauma, you're referencing it. Reference. I know my words. So, and I feel like also too, what happens with Sarah is sometimes, depending on who it is, well, I felt like Brooks really got up in her ass last year. But to me, it's like Brooks is really the only one that I've seen have like just the vernacular and the awareness to be able to properly call Sarah out on her shit.
Yeah.
She's one of those, like, she's very, very smart. So you have to be really, you know, with Ayan, you know, English is her second language. And it's like, she's still sometimes trying to figure out how to put together. Like, we saw her, she going to say to her son, knock, knock. And he said, who's there? She's like, okay, so it's a giraffe. Like, that is not a knock, knock joke.
Her name was Nina. It was Nina.
That's from right. Nina was like, we're not going to keep calling
her. The girl, Nina.
Yes. Thank you for getting that together. So yeah, so Sarah gets on my nerves. I'm really looking forward to any confrontation she has this season, because I just want people to give it to her, because I just feel like it's not genuine.
Because she does yoga and she has a spiritual advisor.
Right, like, girl, bye, please and bye. Then remember, I'm still pissed at her because remember last year she threatened legal action. And they couldn't really talk about it at the reunion, but Ayan brought it up, and Andy was like, no, we're not going there. So if anything, Ayan could put legal action against you for referencing her trauma in the press, since you like going to lawyers and shit.
True.
What I'm saying is, like, to me, something about her just comes off real dark, and you try to hide behind all this spiritual shit like you Russell Simmons. I don't know. I ain't feeling it. But all right.
I'm done.
Even though I went last, it's my turn to go into my weekly grab.
Okay. Yes. What's next on yours?
So it's your uncle Gordon Ramsay's new show, Food Stars, season 2 of his new show, Food Stars. And this time he's teamed up with Lisa Vanderpump, where they both they're squaring off in London in food business challenges through their two teams. So the first episode was seeing them kind of meet with all these different business owners, and some people got the chop, but the ones that they chose to keep, they bidded off of like who's going to be on their team with the whoever the business owner was, they selected. Sometimes they got to select. If they both bidded, then they could select which one they wanted to go on their team. So now you see Team Ramsay versus Team Vanderpump. The first challenge saw the teams have to make the most profit selling food from a food truck during a busy lunch hour in London. And they had to figure everything out from scratch, from what type of food they were going to make and sell. Remember, to a London crowd, one team picks Mexican, the other team picks Italian. They had to name the food truck. So the Mexican food truck named it Fiesta London, which is a great name. And then,
that is very cute.
Yes. And then the London one selected Midday Amore, which is also Midday Amore. They had to figure out their menu, the process of making the food. you know, because you got to think about like, how long does this take? How much does it cost? What's the profit? And it's like the numbers behind everything. So it was all about making the most profit and beating the other team. But you see how hard it is for a bunch of alpha business owners to come together and work as a team and not individuals. So it was like really good. And in the end, Gordon Ramsay's team lost and someone had to go home. And I was happy with who went home because he was pissed. He was pissing everybody off. He was pissing me off. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is the worst. So I'm here for it. I want to just keep seeing how it goes because now that Sanaya has put me on to Gordon Ramsay. And y'all know I like the drama. I just see how the way he does his competition shows, it really kind of brings out the ugly in people because it's like,
I'm telling you.
And so then it creates these really heated confrontational moments. And that's what I'll be here for. I'll be like, ooh, ooh.
It's the best friend. And yes. Then also like he as mean or like as cut is, he genuinely cares.
Yes.
He will always give good advice. He'll always be there for you. He'll always like have a good word. And I love Mr. Ramsay. I will meet him one day. I will. Mr. Ramsay. Yeah,
you will.
Buy me a steak.
Yeah. And Nino agrees.
He loves to go. No, listen, my dog, when I watch Gordon Ramsay, he's very calm.
He's looking at that. He loves
Gordon Ramsay.
He's looking at that food and he's like, yes, this looks good. Let me sit here and watch this. Well, what's next on your weekly grab?
Last on my weekly grab is one of our weekly favorites that we've watched before. But this show or this last episode in particular was just a lot. It was the Challenge All-Stars season 4. I'm kind of at that stage to where I don't think the people I want to win are going to win, but I know who I like, people I don't want to win. It's not that I hate Carmari. I don't hate anybody, really. But I just feel like her approach to the game is very like, you don't have to play like that. But she is a great competitor. I will never take that away from her. The two things that stuck out this episode is Leroy felt just like me. He said something in my spirit. Feels like everything that's going on is not going to happen. Yep. And Louisville was talking a big fight. I'm ready. I'm going to get my star. Blah, 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 blah. You set all of this up. All of this up. You even spoke to Cam and said, this is the plan. I'm doing this for you. Because you could have did the same plan with Veronica.
Yeah.
You could have did the same thing with Veronica. So that's why I also don't think it's that innocent. Because you could have kept Cam. You didn't want to keep a strong player. So you wanted to have one eliminate the other because you could have also did this with Veronica, but you chose not to. So I just feel when she was up there and like they asked if she wanted to play and she said no. One, I knew it. But two, I don't know if you know Zach. He was on Challenges before. He has a podcast that usually interviews previous or current members.
Mm-hmm.
He interviewed Ryan on the podcast this week about Laurel's decision, and what the TV producers didn't show was that Laurel was going to do it. Ryan and Nicole told her, don't do it, because they knew she was going to lose. They saw how physical it was. They said, even if she takes out Cam and goes up against Carmen and goes up against Cam, like they knew she wasn't going to win this one. And they said that Laurel was 100%, but they pushed her again to it. But something happened because Laurel had a falling out with Nicole and Ryan. So this was filmed last year because Cam and Leroy didn't have baby number two. So all I know,
baby number two?
No, they, yeah, so Cam and I think Cam and Leroy, right after this film, they got pregnant with their daughter. Because when they were there, they just had a son. Right. And it's so cute. Because the episode, she talks about like having a little girl. And he's like, I'm joking. She's like, I'm serious. So it's like God called it. Because I think right after the baby girl was born, what, 2 months ago?
Oh, 9 months.
They probably got off home from that trip.
Yeah.
Got it on. Got
That's
pregnant.
Right. Got pregnant immediately. Immediately.
And so looking at them talk about it is crazy. But to me, it's just like for you to talk all that smack, Lou, for you to do how you did it, it just was too much. But I love Cam. Nobody could ever make me hate Cam and Leroy. It's so crazy looking at some of the fandoms and watching them like not like Cam. And I'm like, what? racism. Y'all know you're gonna feel this way, like, oh, Kara. I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just disappointed in Laurel, and like, you can never go on another season ever again and get respect because, like, you did too much.
Right. I was definitely disappointed in her. I don't care who told her not to do it. She should have did it. But yeah, she definitely would have lost because Cam only lost by like a second. And I just don't even think, I think Laura wouldn't have even done as good as Cam did. But I commend Cam because she handled that loss so well. And it did seem like she was just happy to go home to be with her son.
So, yes.
You know, it worked out in the end. They both handled it well. I don't hate Cara Maria, but I don't like her.
And, yes.
yeah. And now at this point, I'm just rooting for Leroy. Hopefully he makes it to the end.
Yeah, I hope so too. I'm praying for him that he does. But I just feel like from certain things, I don't know how much he is going to do it. But I'm praying that he makes it at least to the final or hopefully wins. Or just anybody but Cara. There's just certain people like, I just don't want Cara Maria to win. Mm-hmm. I want somebody like Adam to win or Avery, they could win. There's no other Black person besides Leroy, I don't think. No. Yeah, no. So
y'all went home.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so, I agree. I agree with you 110%. All right. Last on my weekly grab is my favorite show, Evil. It is the final season, season 4. So this season, it's just crazy because it's like the buildup, right? So you're seeing how they're going to close it off. With just the birth of the Antichrist. But I'm kind of okay with it being the final season because at this point, I'm just annoyed with how... Okay, so pretty much the show revolves around how each team member, it's three of them. It's David, who's studying to be a Catholic priest. Ben, who is he's the science techie guy that investigates the potential science behind a case. Because he doesn't, you know, like he, I don't, I believe he's atheist. Him and Kristen are atheists. Kristen is a psychologist. So they don't believe while David believes, you know, but at the same time, it's still through the guise of like the Catholic Church, which that's a whole other conversation because they're tackling a lot of the hypocrisy and controversy within the Catholic Church. Ooh. So, you know, from season one, episode one, you're seeing how they investigate cases the Catholic Church puts them on to see, like, is this intervention from the devil or is it just science or, you know, somebody having a mental health crisis? So that's why this team was put together. But then what you're seeing overall, they're showing you like the devil is real. These spiritual attacks are real. And you see how the devil attacks people in just different ways, sometimes very subtle ways. And so you've been seeing that since season one. Now we're in season four, right? Where each team member is facing new challenges from the devil. But Kristen and Ben are still remaining so biased, non-believers, despite it being season four of spiritual attacks. It's just like, and this time it's the most direct. Like Ben is literally having the devil talk to him directly and grabbing him. But he's still like, nope, doesn't exist.
Oh my gosh.
Kristen is getting attacked through her daughters, as always, and now her husband, who is accusing her of cheating because he's been under my control by the demon that her mother is dating. But Kristen just looks the other way. Mind you, the whole time I believe like she's pregnant by the Antichrist. And then David is still studying to be a Catholic priest. So he's open to the signs, but he still annoys me with just how coy he is about this shit. I'm like, this shit is spiritual warfare. This is real shit, y'all. All the while, Leland, which is the demon that Kristen's mother is dating, he's growing his Satanism club with the help of Kristen's mother. And Kristen even laughed when they talked about the upcoming birthday of this Antichrist. And she's like, oh, that's when I'm due to give birth. Like, what? So, yeah. At this point, I'm just like, all right, whatever. It's the final season. I'm still locked in and how you guys are going to wrap this up. But y'all playing too much for me.
Is this like a thriller, you would say? Or like, how would you? Like,
yeah, it's a thriller for sure. It's completely like they're showing you like demons. Like they really visualize what the demon could look like. Like the makeup, the visual effects are really, really good in this show. And then it's like a mystery because, you know, they have to kind of solve different cases all tied around spirituality. And then again, like I said, they're each having their own personal attacks. So Kristen's husband is under the belief that she cheated on him with David, the one that's studying to be a Catholic priest, because you'll see how Leland and the mom will get the husband when, you know, when the wife isn't around, and they'll plant all these messages in his head, like, she's cheating on you, she's cheating on you. But at the same time, David has been having these like really graphic visions where he is having sex with Kristen. So I even had gotten mixed up because I was like, wait, didn't they have sex? But it's that he's having sex with like a demon mind, a vision of Kristen. So it's a good show. It's really, really layered. I had been talking about it with my sister and she was just like, oh, I can't get into that. But this was like a year or two ago. And then now she just told me she started back with season one. And she's like, it's really, really good. I'm like, I know, girl, I told you.
Yeah, it seems so like divert. Like, it's like you think something is going on, but it's not. Yes. Because it's like in your brain. Or is it?
Right.
Or is it not?
It is a show that you could handle. Like, because I know, like I was telling you about the show Them on Amazon, like it's really scary. This one you can handle because it's more about this conversation, right? Of like, what is a spiritual attack? Like, who is the devil? How does he try to impact our lives? Like, in season one, you're seeing where David is just trying to concentrate and write down some notes. And the demon Leland is like, sex, nipple. Like, he's just literally just trying to distract him by putting unnecessary thoughts into his head. So it'll just So it'll just make you reevaluate yourself. Like, wow, how do I allow unnecessary thoughts to distract me from doing something that could be like towards my purpose? Then another episode will show you how, so maybe you're addicted to social media and that is keeping you away from your purpose. So it's like that. Like, it's just, it's one of those that really just makes you think. But there are times like just with the look of the demons and stuff like that, it could freak you out. So yeah, cause they'll do it in an eerie way, of course. Like, it'll be a little jump scare, but it's not, to me, it's not scary. But yeah. I would say at least start watching it during the day. That's what I do. If it's a show.
Yeah. And like I said, the first two seasons, I did see them on Netflix. I was like, there go Jocelyn's show. But then it's, I went good. To like, I'm dumb. I just passed it and went to like.
Yeah. Like, it could be one of those, like when you're in the mood, just watch it, take it in slowly. Cause that's how I do with just certain shows. Like, I just started Bridgerton. I've been trying to watch this show for it since it came out, but it's really slow for me, but I see it's starting to pick up. I'm up to the part where they were going to have a duel because his sister, but the sister comes like, no, I want to marry him. We are to wed. So I'm just like, I'm just watching it really slow because it's like, fine, whatever. So, you know, it could be one of those for you. Like the joys of binging TV these days, we can just take our time with.
I love it.
It's not going anywhere.
Sure, nothing.
Right. All right. So that was our weekly grab. Don't forget to follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV and like and subscribe, rate and review. Because as you can see, we're diverse with our content.
Watch everything, literally.
We really do. But now let's get into who has upset us this week. Who are we disappointed in? And who are we dragging with our piss poor performance? Okay, best friend, what you got?
Now, the person I'm mad at this week is a fictional character, but that doesn't matter because she still pissed me off, okay?
Right.
She's not real in the real universe, but in the TV universe, my piss poor goes to Miss Catherine Fox, aka Queen Debbie Allen. I love you in real life. You can never do no wrong. Please adopt me. But Catherine Fox, let me tell you. So basically, Catherine is the big honcho. She owned Grey's Anatomy. If you know, you know. She owns the hospital. She has her own Catherine Fox Foundation. She's the big girl. She's the head. She owns the foundation and they have millions of dollars in research. Now, Meredith Grey found some groundbreaking all-time is like research that shows that everything they've been doing has been wrong. But Captain Fox don't want to do it because her donors want to believe what they want to believe. So Meredith goes behind her back, proves what she got to prove, and they end up being right. And Captain Fox, instead of saying, "Oh, I'm so proud of you women, like taking a step," she's like, "Nope, you did it under my foundation. I'm taking it and I'm giving it to another doctor." I'm like, first of all, like, why would you even do that? And it's a man doctor that's the worst person ever. Then she fired the chief, which I kind of understand. She fired the chief because the chief used discretionary funds from the hospital and she didn't tell her. So she used money to fund this Alzheimer's research and didn't tell her. So then she fired the chief. But then on the season finale, it's a huge fire that they need doctors. It's like, they need all hands on deck. And the chief is like one of the best trauma surgeons. So her husband slash the other head of trauma, he was like, "Yo, Catherine Fox, we need her. I don't care what's going on with your ego, but you need to calm down and let her operate before somebody dies." Because it was operating on a firefighter. She fired him too and didn't even tell him. He was trying to go into the damn office and his badge was red. No, Catherine, why you did that? He embarrassed her. I kind of knew it. The way she deserved it, but I knew her ego was hurt because he told her about herself in front of other doctors. Like, "Look, I don't care what you're mad about, but we need to save somebody's life. We don't running out of doctors, and it's not that deep. Let her operate." And she ended up saving his life. But when he tried to go to that office, baby, and that bag said, so now him or his wife don't got a job. So
I'm just more entertained at your descriptions of these stories.
You telling me that all the time. Like,
you are so into it. Like, it's so, like, you really should like just do like weekly breakdowns of like all the doctor shows, the medical dramas. I think you could really build your own following just freaking doing breakdowns.
And then post
them till we watch too much TV so we could grow up.
I'm gonna do the Brooklyn analysis. Because why you did out like that, Catherine? It was
right. Unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Okay, but I pissed on her. But I love you, Debbie Allen. Who's your pissed
for? Clearly, all it says is that Debbie Allen is a good actress.
Yes.
She's selling this role. Today is pissed off.
Okay. I
love you, girl. All right. Well, I am dragging Diamond from the Never Ever Mets. Y'all see, I talk about this show all the time because we got to keep this on air. But she is just the same one who was in somebody's business a couple of weeks ago. Now she is somebody else's business. And she just be going around planting seeds of destruction while ignoring the red flags in her relationship. So this past week, we just saw her get into, now it's, the one couple who seemed like they was going to make it, right? The one that's been together for 12 years. What's that?
The guy and the girl, the dark-skinned girl.
Yes. Yes. So she pretty much, we still don't know if it's true, but if you can remember the girl, Alexis, who was only there for like the first episode because she got into a domestic violence incident with the guy who put his hands on her.
With the bad BBL.
Yes. She's saying that on that first night, that Josh tried to come on to her. Like, he pretty much was trying to hook up with her. And while Shay was asleep in the bed, because remember, Shay shared a room with Alexis. And so the girl Alexis allegedly told this to Diamond. And then here go Diamond coming to tell Shay. And then when Shay reacts and gets in Josh's ass, here come Diamond. Just calm down. Don't, like, girl, shut up. You wanted this. You like drama. I could tell you live for drama. You stay in some drama because you just stay in people's business that don't got nothing to do with you. And we saw her do this with the other couple, Joanna and Aaron J. So Josh is saying that he didn't do it, that the girl was coming on to him. We don't know. All the cameras did catch, because allegedly what Alexis told Diamond is that Josh said, "Let's go in the hallway where there's no cameras to have sex." And we did see them go in the hallway. But Josh saying they went in the hallway to talk so they wouldn't wake up Shay. Really shady.
Yeah. But first of all, it's the timing of it too. Uh-huh. Like, that's something you tell me from day zero. Don't just wait. Right. I don't like that. I don't trust your intentions when you do stuff like that.
No. He had already told her that.
Oh.
So now that it's coming out, Alexis allegedly telling Diamond that they went out there to have sex or that he was trying to have sex with her. It's just a lot for Shay to process, but she does get in his ass and he's like, no, this isn't true, but it's hard to know who to believe. But all the while, this is now the second confrontation that Diamond has started by just being just too like, ugh, I can't stand people like her. She's messy. Messy, messy, messy boots. So yeah.
And thrives on it. Certain people thrive
on
it.
Yeah, you could tell. She gets a kick out of it. So not feeling her, dragging her. Boop, black, boop, bye, Diamond.
That is the episode that bloop, black, bye.
And now we'll get into our yes. Segment on who we're rooting for. Who you got, best friend?
So the person that I'm rooting for just lost, but I'm rooting for you in life, okay? And this is for Sue from this season of Top Chef. Sue, I just liked your personality. I thought you were delightful.
Yeah.
I really hope that you come on for an All Stars. I hope you start learning better and doing better. I love how you like beat everybody who lost and earned your way to get on the show. But I'm just rooting for Sue. I mean, I know he lost, but that's why he need this. So Sue, I'm gonna go to Wisconsin or Chicago. I forgot where you're from. And I'm gonna look for your restaurant and I'm gonna support you. You wanna know why? Cause I was rooting for you. So go Sue.
Go Sue.
I really liked him. I really liked him. I don't know why.
Okay. My yes is going to Teresa Giudice of The Real Housewives of New Jersey for reminding everyone that the show revolves around her. We saw in this latest episode, she had a confrontation with Rachel Fuda, who was just so thirsty for a moment. And granted, Rachel Fuda, I will give it to her. She cursed the shit out of Lisa. Cursed her out, called her a bitch, stupid and old, and a has-been. And at the same time, like Teresa was just so unbothered. You know, she's no longer the Teresa that flips tables. She's had four daughters. Like one is grown out of college. The other one is entering college. The other one just, you know, we see she's just had her senior prom. Like she's representing growing girls. Right. So it's like she's sitting here arguing with some girl who's calling her a bitch and all of that. Cause it was definitely giving a bit of mob wives. Like Fuda was given a lot of energy. And Teresa was just like, you know what? I'm leaving. My daughter has a soccer game. And when she left, the whole scene was over. Like it was done. It was done. So here's my thing, ladies. Y'all done already got y'all reunion, I don't know, canceled, re-strategized because y'all can't get along. Y'all see what happened with Real Housewives of New York. Pause, completely rebooted. Y'all see what happened with Housewives of Atlanta. Put on pause and recast it. So if you think that you can't be replaced, honest Teresa, because it's clear as day, the show revolves around her. I do not, unless they are going to reboot the whole entire franchise. You're not going to have a show without Teresa. Like she is the centerpiece of the show. So all this picking at her, I really think the drop in ratings is a reflection of just them trying to ice her out. I think more people are finally starting to open their eyes to Melissa Gorga's just shady ways. So I'm just here for Teresa reminding everyone that she is the queen. They see what happened to Real Housewives of Atlanta when NeNe left. It's never been the same and it's been a struggle. And I just don't see them doing that in New Jersey. So get with the program. And the program is Teresa Giudice. And I'm here for it. So yes.
I mean, and I love that clip every time they play it. I got married on the show. I got divorced on the show. I was in jail on the show. Lost my baby. I lost my mother. I lost my father. And to her point, ain't nobody ever really go through all of the stuff that she went through. And I feel like Bravo will have her back. Even if they got rid of everybody. Teresa going to be a friend of
Yeah.
Or she going to host a reunion. They ain't going to get rid of Teresa. She'll always have a place. Because I feel like she let them so much into her life. I feel like it's certain housewives, Brandy. Andy is always going to mess with. And Teresa's.
She's definitely one of them. Top of the list. So, all right. As we go to close out our show, don't forget to follow us at We Watch Too Much TV and like and subscribe, rate and review. Now, best friend, let's close it out on a positive note. with some positivity. All right.
So sometimes, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Oh. Sometimes you have to let go of the picture of what you thought about life and learn to find joy in the story you are actually living. Hmm. From Rachel Marie Martin.
Okay, Rachel Marie Martin, that was nice. My quote is actually from someone this week. Every woman that finally figured out her worth has picked up her suitcases of pride and boarded a flight to freedom, which landed in the Valley of Change, by Shannon L. Alder. All right. And on that note, our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and hair bundles for Catherine Fox.
Oh, gosh. Yes. 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 And yes. All right, guys, we will see you in a week.
If see I, you unless, later,
unless
alligator.
I go into
oh,
labor.
Unless I give birth.
Okay, unless I go this, into labor. But she seems like she don't want to leave now. First, she was like, I want to come out. Now she's like, I don't know. So we'll see. But all right, y'all. Bye.
Bye.